General Pat Murphy of the Division of Military and Naval Affairs, Joseph D'Amico, the Superintendent of the New York State Police. You'll hear first from Governor Cuomo and then from Chairman Loda.
Well, as everyone knows, in New York, Sandy packed a punch for the metropolitan area yesterday. I don't think words like catastrophic or historic are too strong to explain the impact. The most devastating news is that we lost 15 New Yorkers last night. That is our best estimate at this time. My guess is, if anything, that number is going to get larger. And that is really the worst news of the entire episode, and we want those families to know that they are in our thoughts and our prayers today. That number would also be much, much larger if it wasn't for the truly historic and courageous activities of our first responders all across the state. Those of us who were out there last night, I saw people put themselves in the way of danger that was really inspirational. And if it wasn't for the National Guard and the State Police and the NYPD and what the agencies at this table did, I think that the number of the loss of life would have been much greater. This storm was actually the inverse of what the state went through with Hurricane Irene and Storm Lee. There, the forecast was for extensive damage downstate, but as you know, it turned out that upstate New York was extensively damaged, and downstate New York City and Long Island received very little damage. This is the exact opposite. Upstate New York was relatively unscathed. We have some small pockets of damage, but relatively unscathed, and the metropolitan area took the brunt of it. As you know, our first priority is public safety. And that continues, making sure that people are out of harm's way. There are still people who are in life-threatening situations. State Police, Superintendent Joseph D'Amico is with us today, are still working on those types of missions. General Murphy is with us today. The National Guard is still working on rescue missions. So that is the first order of business here in New York City and on Long Island, as well as in the Westchester area. The National Guard did fantastic duty over the night. There were 156 rescue missions, and I think it's fair to say that the State Police, NYPD, and the National Guard saved hundreds of lives yesterday. The restoring power is going to be one of the major challenges for us. You have about 2 million families without power. Westchester was hit very hard, but Long Island really took the brunt of the burden. Of the 2,023,000 are upstate New York, LIPA, Long Island, 930,000 without power. That is roughly 90% of the people on Long Island, believe it or not. Orange and Rockland Utility, 185,000, Con Ed, 712,000. What's going to make this more complicated is the states basically have a reciprocity agreement with other states that when we have a crisis, they send us their utility workers and vice versa. So many states were affected in this crisis that we're seeking utility workers from as far away as Texas and California. We have, hopefully, we have about 4,000 utility workers who will be coming into the state to help, but this is going to be a serious problem. The National Guard are going to continue to be deployed, removing tree limbs, doing that kind of work to release the lines. On the restoration of power, we're going to ask the Public Service Commission to oversee these utility companies in restoring the power and making sure it's being done well and as quickly as possible. Specifically, the Long Island Power Authority, LIPA, has had a very poor track record in just this area of restoring power, and we're going to ask the chairman of the PSC to specifically monitor LIPA to make sure the power is coming on. In terms of buses, there will be a limited resumption of service starting today at 5 p.m. Limited resumption is basically the Sunday schedule, and hopefully tomorrow there will be full service on the buses. Little ray of of light is the no fares will be charged on the buses today or tomorrow as New Yorkers are struggling to get their lives back in gear. The subways, when we talk about subway restoration, Joe Loda is here and he'll talk more about this, but I think rather than talking about restoration of the system, it's going to be more a conversation of restoration of parts of the system first. Someone said to me last night who had years of experience in the subway system that he had never seen damage like this before. I think the decision to stop the service, move the trains and move the buses to safer ground was truly the prudent one. But even having done that, the damage to the tracks, tunnels that are underwater, is unlike this city has seen in decades, if ever. So that is a yeoman's undertaking. Joe Loda and his entire team did extraordinary work all through this. In the preparation, the judgment, the decisions that were made were all 100% correct. His team was on it last night, I can tell you firsthand. So they've done a great job, and I know they're going to do the best they can to get the system up and running as soon as possible. Give you an idea of the obstacles. Metro North has a 40-foot boat that is across the tracks. So it's those little things that can sometimes cause a problem. All bridges will be reopening at noon today, except the Rockaway bridges, which cannot be reopened. The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel and the Holland Tunnel will remain closed due to flooding. JFK Airport, we believe, will be reopened tomorrow, but we'll have more information on that shortly. We do not anticipate LaGuardia Airport opening tomorrow due to extensive damage. I've spoken to President Obama twice yesterday. He is being extraordinarily cooperative. I spoke with Secretary Tim Geithner yesterday about accelerating the return of Wall Street, and we are cautiously optimistic that Wall Street will come back online tomorrow. The President asked what was our major problem. I told him the major problem was the flooding of the tunnels and the ground zero site basements in many buildings in downtown Manhattan. The Army Corps of Engineers is sending us their best national team. They call it the National Unwatering Team. I didn't know there was such a name for a team, but where the National Unwatering SWAT team is on its way to New York, and we need them very badly. FEMA has also set up a hotline for individuals who might need assistance. The FEMA hotline is 800-621-3362. Just a personal observation, I've been involved in disaster mitigation all across the country when I worked in the federal government, and I've seen all types of disasters. I was in the Hurricane Andrew in Florida, Homestead, Florida. I was in the Red River floods, the Midwest floods, which saw entire cities wiped away, the earthquakes in California. I have to tell you what I saw last night in downtown Manhattan, what went on in the South Shore of Long Island, were some of the worst conditions that I had seen. The Hudson River, downtown Manhattan, was literally pouring into the Ground Zero site with such a force that we were worried about the structure of the pit itself. Joe Loda and I just happened to run into each other in downtown Manhattan. And when I tell you the Hudson River was pouring into the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel like a river at high velocity. So it was a frightening sight. And while the Hudson River was coming over from the west, the East River was coming over from the east. And the amount of water and the acceleration and the rising of the river was really frightening. And the response of the first responders, I tell you, was as courageous as anything I've seen, because it was frightening. It was truly frightening. And when every instinct in your body is telling you to take yourself to a place of safety and run the other way, here comes the river, run the other way, these first responders were running right into the face of danger and running into the water to help people and rescue people. And if it wasn't for the heroism of our first responders, our great New Yorkers, this situation would have been much, much worse. I do think once we get through the public safety and we restore the power and we get the subways back up and running and the buses up and running, we will have a long-term reconstruction effort here, and that's how we're going to have to start to think about it. There's a long-term recovery and reconstruction. This part of the country doesn't deal with flooding often. Flooding always looks worse the morning after, because then when the water recedes, you see the damage it's done. When the water recedes, you walk into the home that was flooded, and now you see the extent of the damage. You had buildings all through Manhattan that where their basements were flooded last night. You have homes all across Queens and Long Island, Brooklyn, where that were flooded. And that damage is only going to become visible today, tomorrow, the next day. And it is going to be extensive. So this is not going to be a short-term situation. This is a long-term recovery and reconstruction effort, and that's the way we need to think about it. And I'm hopeful that not only will we rebuild this city and metropolitan area, but we use this as an opportunity to build it back smarter. There has been a series of extreme weather incidents. Anyone, that's not a political statement, that is a factual statement. Anyone who says there's not a dramatic change in weather patterns, I think is denying reality. And I would like to say that this is probably the last occurrence we will have. I don't believe that. I said to the president kiddingly the other day, we have a 100-year flood every 2 years now. So this city doesn't have experience with this type of weather pattern and this type of situation. I think it's something we're going to have to take into consideration and educate ourselves. And as we're going through the reconstruction and the rebuilding, we have to find ways to build this city back stronger and better than ever before to make sure that if there is another situation like this, another weather pattern like this, we're more prepared and more protected than we have been thus far. We have a new reality when it comes to these weather patterns. We have an old infrastructure and we have old systems, and that is not a good combination. And that's one of the lessons that I'm going to take from this personally. That, and once again, the courage of New Yorkers and the spirit of community of New Yorkers and how New Yorkers really are at their best when things are at their toughest. And when the pressure is on, that's when we respond. And that's what I saw last night firsthand. With that, let me turn it over to Joseph Loda and the MTA.
Thank you, Governor. I can say unequivocally that the MTA last night faced a disaster as devastating as it has ever faced in its history. Sandy wreaked havoc on the entire transportation system, the subways, the buses, Metro North, and the Long Island Railroad in every single borough of the city and in every single county of the MTA region. Just to give you an example of what happened with the flooding as well as the trees coming down, as well as the fact that we have lack of power in almost our entire system. The New York City Transit Authority, there are several tunnels or tubes, as we call them, between Manhattan and Brooklyn that are underwater. The Clark Street Tunnel, the Steinway Tunnel, the Montague Street Tunnel, Cranberry Street Tunnel, as well as the Rutgers Street Tunnel. I will tell you that some of our rail yards are also suffering from flooding up at 207th Street and at 148th Street. That's to show you that it's not limited to lower Manhattan. The flooding that we experienced is in all of the boroughs. Right now, we are in the process of pumping out the Girolamo Street Tunnel, and it should be cleared shortly. To give you an example of what's gone on Metro North, as the governor mentioned, we actually have a 40-foot boat in Ossining crossing all of our lines up there, and as well as we have no power from Manhattan at 59th Street all the way up to Croton Harmon on the Hudson Line and all the way up to New Haven on our New Haven line. The Long Island Railroad had to evacuate the West Side Yards due to flooding, and they also had flooding in its East River Tunnel that goes out to Jamaica. The governor mentioned the problems we had in the tunnels. The U Carry Brooklyn Battery Tunnel still has water in it. We started the process of pumping it out, as well as the Queens Midtown Tunnel, also is flooded and currently closed. I mentioned earlier today that we had six garages that were disabled by high water. I can tell you that none of our buses have any damage. I can also tell you that our subway cars also have no damage. It's all on the lines. It's all on the track level that we have to worry about. We're assessing the extent of the damage. We're to begin the process of recovery. That assessment is going to take a little bit more time than we had thought. However, I will tell you, you know, one of the things that we were able to find is that the downtown at South Street Station, the water is literally up to the ceiling. It's not beyond the track level. It is clearly up to the ceiling. So at that point, I will tell you, we can go into specifics on various other parts of our facilities. The governor covered all of our bridge and tunnel situation, and as well what we're going to be doing for MTA bus later on this afternoon. I would like to say that our employees, all of the transit workers and the workers on the two commuter railroads, their work and their dedication has been exemplary in the last few days, and I know on behalf of all New Yorkers, and I want to thank them for their work on behalf of all New Yorkers, and talking to some, not all, of the union leaders this morning, they're all prepared to get the railroad and the subway system and the bus service back up and running as quickly as we possibly can. Once we complete our assessment of where we are, we'll be able to talk with a little bit more specificity about getting the service up and running. As the governor mentioned, we should look at this in part, not in whole. If there are parts of the subway system that we can get up, we will get them up. We'll be able to complement them with our bus service as well. So, you know, New Yorkers need to understand and have flexibility and also be creative with us. As we have some part of the subway system not working, we're going to take the bus system and use it to help complement and supplement those services. All of that type of information we will use our website as well as social media and all of the traditional media to get that information out so all of our customers, our 8.5 million customers a day, will have proper service as soon as we can get it up. Okay, thank you. Howard?
Very good. We'll take questions.
It's hard to say. As I said, there are 2 million people all across the state without power, and because there are a number of states affected, it's making it harder to get additional utility crews into the state. Con Ed is doing an assessment now, and they'll be having more information this afternoon. And likewise, it's going to be a different situation with different utility companies across the state. Long Island is probably the hardest hit, Long Island Power Authority. Approximately 90% of their customers. Hopefully it starts today, but I can't tell you how long it's going to take.
Governor, just another power question. Con Ed says they didn't expect such a surge, and even if they made that forecast, it really couldn't do much about it. The water was coming in too fast to keep up with it. With 1.5 million New Yorkers on Long Island and the city still without power, how do you
Well, Jacob, that's one of the reasons I'm asking the PSC to monitor, Public Service Commission to monitor this operation that's going to start today, is precisely for that reason. But there are let's separate two situations. One is a LIPA situation, Westchester situation. Trees fall, limbs fall, hit lines, and that is predictable. That happens every storm. The question becomes, do you have the personnel ready and the equipment ready to deal with it? Was it more extensive than you should have realized, et cetera? That's one situation. In the past, I believe, LIPA has been inadequate in dealing with that traditional situation. When you talk about what happened in Manhattan last night, that is a different situation. You did not have ocean water, salt water, breaching the banks the way you've had it in Manhattan, you know, in my lifetime. This is of a generation. Possibly it was historic. When you start to fill the subway tunnels with salt water, much of the Con Ed equipment is in the tunnels, is underground. When hot electrical equipment hits cold salt water, that is a bad combination. And that is a design flaw, I believe, for our system now, if you anticipate these extreme weather conditions. Obviously, we didn't when we designed this system. We did not anticipate water coming over the Hudson River, coming over the banks, being 5 feet deep on the West Side Highway, and filling subway grates and filling every opening and filling that massive infrastructure we have below ground. Now, should Con Ed have anticipated that? I don't know, because that really is, in many ways, precedent-setting. However, going forward, I think we do have to anticipate these types of extreme weather patterns, and we have to start to think about how do we redesign the system so this doesn't happen again. After what has been happening over the past few years, I don't think anyone can sit back anymore and say, well, I'm shocked at that weather pattern. There is no weather pattern that can shock me at this point. And I think that has to be our attitude. And now how do we redesign our systems and our infrastructure assuming that?
The senior vice president for Con Ed said that it could take up to 2 weeks to restore power to about 350,000 New York City residents who lost power for the first set of reasons, down lines, falling trees. Are you okay with that timetable?
No, I am not okay with that. I am not okay with 2 weeks for downed lines because of tree limbs. I mean, that is a wholly predictable situation, right? That we've been dealing with for years and years, and that would be poor planning on my part. That's situation A. Situation B, the salt water and subway tunnels at an amount that you've never seen before and no one has ever seen, that would be different. But a couple of weeks for what was entirely predictable would be unacceptable.
We're going to have to wrap up questions with one more because we do have to get going.
For those of you who were wondering if things have returned to normal, we have now had the official announcement that everything has been returned to normal. There are two costs. One is the cost to government. I spoke to the president twice yesterday, and I'm literally going to excuse myself now because I have a scheduled call with the president again. The cost to government of the emergency repair operations. These operations that we are conducting are very, very expensive. The repair to the subway tracks are very expensive. The National Guard operations are expensive. The state police operations are expensive. The NYPD operations are expensive. And in the midst of this crisis, from my point of view, I need to know who's going to pay the bill, because the state already has a $1 billion deficit. So knowing who's going to pay the cost is important, an important piece of information to make these types of decisions. The federal government will, I believe, reimburse the overwhelming majority of the government costs. That's emergency costs, reconstruction costs. So the federal government will bear those costs. State government, local governments will bear a small portion. Second set of costs are the cost of the private sector. Wall Street was closed today. Hopefully it's open tomorrow. Small businesses have suffered. People are not going to work. So there's a cost to the overall economy that is not a government cost, that is not going to be reimbursed. Part of what we're trying to do here is getting the city and the metropolitan area up and running as quickly as possible so that cost is minimized. What it actually is at the end of the day, we don't know. At this point, I don't anticipate that it would be staggering.
Governor, what can the private sector expect to get from, in terms of aid from the state or from the federal government, either direct economic damage or indirect economic damage?
Federal government has a very elaborate set of programs through FEMA. That's the phone number that I gave, the FEMA hotline, 800-621-3362. They run small business programs to reimburse small business for damages. They run home ownership programs to reimburse homeowners for flooding damages, et cetera. And I would encourage homeowners who have had a home damage, small business owners, they should contact FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, for those costs. That's not really what the state or the local government does. That's basically a FEMA program.
We have to close it here. There'll be more specific information available from MTA on the subway system.
Okay, just one more, sir. No, those are basically the reconstruction repair costs of the system that was. What I'm talking about is let's learn from this situation and let's start to design an approach that would have redundancy, for example, you know, the Langone Hospital. The East River was past First Avenue. We were going east on 34th Street and ran into the East River between 1st and 2nd Avenue, which means the Langone Hospital, that whole basement, that whole up to the first floor, was underwater.